This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Kick is on its way. The Baltimore Ravens have come into Denver and reached the AFC Championship game for the second straight year.
That was the Mile High Miracle Game, everybody. January 12th, 2013, the Ravens stunned the heavily favored Denver Broncos in two overtimes, 38-35. Game-winning kick by rookie out of Texas, Justin Tucker. Of course, the big play was Flacco's bomb to Jacoby Jones. Greg Gummel on the call, CBS. An incredible game, one of the great divisional round games in the history of the National Football League. Arguably, outside of the two Super Bowl wins, the biggest win in Ravens history. Certainly the most exciting, and goes to show you the passage of time and how quickly it goes. But Justin Tucker was just a young player at that time.
Bob, I was here because I had to do post game. I was here eating pizza, watching it. Remember we had that old like kitchen area,
before they built the performance studio. That turned out well.
Yeah. So I was watching it by myself. Oh man, I was like almost fell off the floor when Jacoby
Me,
Jones.
Mark Zeno were at the Green Turtle in Owings Mills doing the pregame show. Jerry Coleman was live from Denver.
Oh.
Yeah, and Adam Jones came on. That was CBS. Adam Jones came on, who was representing the Orioles as they were representing. It was an epic day. Denver had, two kick returns for touchdowns in that game. And then the big pick, Corey Graham, the interception, set up things. But what a game it was. But goes to show you how times have changed. Justin Tucker, just a rookie at that time. Yesterday with his release, the last player left from that ball club.
Wow. Let's just say this, Bob. I mean, put everything aside, he had an awesome football career at the University of Texas and with the Baltimore Ravens. Spectacular career. I mean, the thing that if I was GM, like Ozzie and Eric were through his kicking time, I mean, you never had to worry about it. It was always right down the middle and going to be good. I mean, it actually, if you're a fan, probably got boring.
It became where when he was lining up for a kick,
it was good.
Grab a beer, go to the bathroom.
No doubt.
I mean, he had his misses. Remember New Orleans game a few years back where he missed the extra point that would have tied the game late?
Yeah.
Or even he was like, what the hell just happened? But he hit the 68-yarder to beat Detroit at the buzzer, which is the longest kick in the history of the NFL. But the career is over. We're getting your thoughts on it. The expected end. I guess the timing and the verbiage in the release from the Ravens basically say, well, looking at the roster, he's not good enough to be on it, which we all know is crap. All right, let's go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, you've been holding forever. The floor is yours.
Hey, Uncle Bob, Uncle Vinny.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hey, man, I just want to say this. I think it was brilliant for the Ravens to say it was a football-related issue, because that just answers people when they try to pose the question, is there a relation between, you know, the relation between Mike Green's off-field SA compared to Justin Tucker. You can say, well, look, you know, it was a football-related issue. It wasn't because of the allegations we let Justin go. All they got to do is point to last year. Every game the Ravens lost last year, Justin Tucker missed the field goal in. He was even missing extra points last year, so this was the perfect time to get rid of him. But the funny part to me was the timing. They let him go right after the rookie minicamp, after they saw that kid loop in person. And they said he made a 75-yarder over the weekend. It's videos of him making 65-yarders with ease. So I think they wanted to see what they had with this kid first before they let Justin Tucker go. That's my opinion, but I think it was smart to do it now versus when the report come back, if he was guilty of those things, it makes the Ravens look bad. And if he didn't do it, then you stuck with him. So I think now was the perfect time to do it. Cut ties with him, give him his flowers. He did a lot for us, but it was time to move on.
Well, the other thing, Bob, is when you think about it, if they had heard from the league, you know, hey, we're going to announce it in a week or whatever.
Sure.
So do what you got. You know, so you can say it's a football decision.
A little insider trading.
Yeah, so otherwise, you know, if you cut him right after the NFL does their due diligence, then it's like, no, that wasn't football. So now they can at least say that, you know, and it can kind of be true, you know. So they feel good about it.
Yep, and then, you know, if you just look at just how Deshaun Watson got treated, you know, then Justin Tucker to turn around and do the exact same thing. It's just a bad look for the league. And, I mean, who basically would want to put up with that for a guy who's basically in the twilight of his career? He's not the same player he was. So I think it was a lot for the Ravens to take on for a guy. You know, maybe the squeeze wasn't worth the juice is what I'm trying to say. Right. And one last thing with Mike Green.
No pun intended.
And, you know, and the kid Mike Green, when they drafted him, if they showed an extended version of the phone call, you know, when Eric DaCosta called the players and they're home, when they're at home with their family, the end of the conversation was they told him, we're riding with you. And that kid was crying like a baby. So when they saying that, they saying, we're going to support you through, you know, whatever come along with this. You know, if they want to boycott, that's what I'm thinking. You know, people want to keep bombarding you with questions. The Ravens saying, we're riding with you. And the boy was crying like a baby. So they didn't offer that same support to Justin Tucker. You know, so that says a lot right there.
All right, Jason, good call as always.
Well, on Sunday, when Green was doing the interviews, you know, I mean, it became apparent that it had switched from football to, you know, all the off the field stuff. They cut it off, you know, which I would have, you know, I mean, because he just getting peppered with questions about
but
that.
When do those towards him, when do those questions stop? Because they're going to keep happening.
Oh, yeah. From the fans and stuff when he has a couple sacks.
Or from the media. I think the media. I mean, when he reconvenes with the masses, whenever that is.
Well, he's going to have
OTAs.
He may get it again. But, Bob, the longer it goes and nothing comes, if something all of a sudden comes, because Jonas interviewed a bunch of people, you know, and really didn't
Jonas
get
Schaefer,
anything.
Of course,
yeah. Jonas Schaefer, who comes on every Friday with us. And we can talk to him, but ask him to get about his article on Friday. But, you know, he didn't get anybody saying anything, you know, derogatory to him. You know, and I guess the only person that hadn't responded to him was the people at Virginia, you know. So I guess we'll see. I mean, if something pops up, then it becomes a headache for the Ravens.
It's 88-81057, the fan. We have time for another call. Nolan McGraw. Nolan says yes. Let's go to Westminster. It is Gary. Gary, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good to talk to you. I'm just a little irritated with the whole Justin Tucker being found guilty before he's guilty. I mean, what happened to we're innocent until proven guilty. And I can guarantee you right now, had he had a great year last year, everybody would be up in arms about them cutting him. So I feel like there's no loyalty from the team or the fans for a man who's not guilty of anything yet, just accusations from years ago. I just don't agree with any of it, and I just feel like, you know, let's find out first. What happened to due process? So, I don't know. I'm just a little irritated where someone's found guilty before they're guilty. Right. Anyway, that's all I got to say. I want to hear what you got to say.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, hey, look, we played the opening of the show, the cut from Eric DaCosta. Mm-hmm. We anticipate him being our kicker this year and and hopefully beyond. And that tone changed once the accusations came out, which was probably, what, less than 2 weeks after that comment was made?
Yes.
Now it's a football decision.
Now it's it is a football decision.
And look, Tyler Loop, I seem to remember, Nolan, before we hit the break, a video of a guy coming out of Cal throwing the football through the end zone or through the goalpost from his knees from midfield. That guy's name was Kyle Bowler.
Yes.
And then when he got into the games, he wasn't throwing those kind of passes anymore, at least to the guys in purple. We'll see if I think Tyler Loop, highest rated kicker in this year's draft. We'll see. It's been 880-1057 The Fan. That's kind of our own money next. Buy or sell. Then we'll talk Orioles off to Minnesota. Orioles could use a successful road trip. Can Cade Povich get it started tonight against the team that drafted?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crafted.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. We're playing it loud. Pick a song. We take it to 12. Send your request. Plausible text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Orioles in Minnesota tonight. Taking on the Twins. BBT coming up at 6. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services as the Orioles try to bounce back after getting shellacked the last two games of their series by the Kansas City Royals. Cade Povich going up against the team that drafted him, the Twinkies. Pablo Lopez on the hill for Minnesota, who could be an attractive trade piece if the Twins can't get it together. Justin Tucker, Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs. A lot going on. But where's the dough? By yourself.
Well, we're not having it. The Dow's down 109. The S&P's down 11. NASDAQ's down 51. DraftKings down 19 cents. Under Armour's down 8 cents.
Well, speaking of Pablo Lopez, let's start there. No lefties on the schedule for Minnesota in this series. That's good news for the Orioles, but Pablo Lopez still represents a tough challenge. He's faced Baltimore a few times over the years and had pretty good success. I look at a player like Gunnar Henderson, only 1-for-8 lifetime against Lopez, although that one was a homer. A few bright spots, Adley 3-for-9, Mountcastle 2-for-5, very limited, but it is success. Meanwhile, Cedric Mullins, who you could probably consider the O's most consistent bat this year, is 0-for-6 lifetime off Lopez. Buy or sell, Bob, Cedric snaps that hitless streak tonight.
Buy! 100 times over! Cedric Mullins. I think the Orioles come alive a little bit against Pablo Lopez, and I'm going to go Jackson Holliday to get himself a knock, and Gunn shows heating up. Question is, can Cade Povich shut down Minnesota? They just got Royce Lewis back. Buxton hit a homer the other day. It would kind of make sense, wouldn't it, if Minnesota like starts acting like it's Harmon Killebrew, Rod Carew, and Bobby Allison against the Orioles this week.
Over to the NFL, the game of quarterback musical chairs, mostly complete at this point. We've had trades, free agency signings, and now the draft over as well. Though there are a few teams still in need of at least a backup. And one backup name that still doesn't have a home yet is Tyler Huntley. Now, he's been probably one of the more recognizable backups in the league over the past few years, simply because he's been called upon to start 14 games, in fact, since 2021. Now, let's be honest, he's not great, even though he was a Pro Bowler. In the past, has shown to be at least a game manager at times if you need him to start a game or two. But buy or sell, Vinny, the fact that Huntley remains unsigned in a league where teams are so hyper-focused on quarterback depth signals that his career may be close to done.
I'll sell it just because guys get hurt and then they're looking for anybody out there. So right now it's just on temporary hold.
All right, how about a little NBA here? We've seen two Game 7s so far in the NBA postseason this year. And for the longest time, the narrative around Game 7s, win or go home games, was that they obviously favored the home team. That's why you fight for better seating throughout the year, is to be afforded the opportunity to host a Game 7 if it gets to that point. However, recent history shows that 9 of the last 14 Game 7s have resulted in the road team winning. For comparison, only two road teams won a Game 7 in the entire 90s decade. Just 3 times it happened in the 80s. Buy or sell, Bob, the Game 7 advantage for home teams no longer exists in today's NBA and won't moving into the future.
I'll soft buy. I think current day, you just stated the stats that say, hell yeah. I mean, it's whoever gets hot from 3 is going to win that game. But moving forward, I think home court advantage, it's all cyclical, I would think. So I'll soft buy. It's cool today, and I'll buy it for what's happening, but I'll soft buy moving forward. That'll be the continuing trend here.
Back to the NFL, the Cowboys went with an O-lineman with their first-round draft pick this year, a move that I think most people liked, but probably didn't do much to quiet the crowd that was upset about Dak Prescott's lack of weapons, and really lack of weapons outside of CeeDee Lamb. However, with Prescott missing significant time 2 of the last 3 years, it doesn't matter if you have weapons or not. He wasn't out there anyway. Wouldn't have made a difference. The year in between, though, when he was healthy, well, he was exceptional, beyond exceptional, in fact. Finished 2nd in MVP voting behind Lamar. Career stats in many categories. Buy or sell, Vinny, Prescott can still reach those statistical highs if he's protected and healthy.
I'll buy it. I think, you know, getting Booker is going to play left guard for them. He's, you know, a 330-pound man, does a good job in pass protection. And then they got Owazeke in the 2nd round. I thought Dallas actually had a real nice draft.
And our last topic of the day comes from the AL East, where Boston going to be without Tristan Casas, their first baseman, for the rest of the season. Now, this is familiar territory for them because he only played roughly 60 games for them last year. Now, at that time, they turned to Dominic Smith, but he's no longer with the organization, so who do they turn to replace him this time around? Well, they've got Romy Gonzalez there, played a handful of games this year, mostly getting the starts against left-handed pitching. His numbers, pretty good in that limited action as well. They've got an intriguing prospect in Roman Anthony, although probably more of an outfielder. They'd have to try to convert him here, and don't know if that's what's best for the short term. Buy or sell, Bob, Boston will be able to roll with what they have in-house instead of seeking another first baseman in a trade.
I'm going to sell that. I know Cora said that moving Devers to first base was out of the question for now, so that could be a possibility. I think they will go outside of Beantown to find that dude. So I'm selling that they're all stable there. Unless, again, Devers could do it as he's starting to get his sea legs under him offensively after moving off third. I mean, do you want to give him, you know, first base? And they're going to go somewhere else to get that trade candidate to play first base for them. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk to Steve Molesky about the Orioles. Through 33 games last year, they were 22-11 in first place in the East. Right now, they're 13-20. Last place in the division. What's going on? Can they turn it around? We hope they can. Could Minnesota and the Angels be the elixir for that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up into the trade deadline and here to talk about the Orioles, their struggles, what a difference a year makes for sure. Our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours. He's Steve Molesky. Steve, good afternoon. How you feeling on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
I'm turning it up over here, Bob.
Let's crank it up. All right, Zach Eflin, you saw him in the rehab start for shutout innings, which is good. How did he look? Any idea with the ETA? I know the Orioles have a TBD for tomorrow. He'd be on short rest to make that one. But, hey, is Zach Eflin going to be pitching for the Orioles within the week here?
My guess is yes. Friday night in Anaheim is my guess. Now, they could give him another rehab start or two, but even before he made the first one, and I did go up there and watch him at Ripken Stadium Sunday afternoon in Aberdeen, Eflin was talking about one and done, so you could see where his mindset was. And, Bob, it's so desperate now for the Orioles with the pitching that, I mean, Zach Eflin's got a 2.70 ERA in 12 Orioles starts since last year. So is the team desperate for that right now? They are desperate for that right now. So I think he had through 58 pitches, four scoreless for Aberdeen against those Bowling Green hot rods on Sunday. And who knows how that translates, Bob. That was high A. So, you know, but he rolled through it, and he looked like his normal self. And he was throwing 91, which is what he was throwing this year in the major league. So the fastball velocity was, you know, he doesn't throw that hard, and he wasn't throwing that hard Sunday. But I thought he looked good. He made a couple nice fielding plays, and the Orioles do not make rehab players available for media when they're in the minors, so we didn't get it. We couldn't talk to him. But the Aberdeen staff thought he threw well and thought he was pretty happy with how it went.
Now, getting to the guys pitching in this series, well, the ones we know about against the Twins, and, you know, Cade Povich tonight, Minnesota, of course, drafted him, you know, when he was coming out of the amateur ranks, and the Orioles got him along with Cano and the Lopey trade a couple years back. But how do we assess him now, Steve? He's 1-2, a bloated ERA. He's had moments of brilliance, but, you know, sometimes that ball finds some bats. How are we assessing Cade Povich here, who's going to get every opportunity to get people out given their desperate times in the starting rotation?
I think he's fine, Bob, and I think he's one of the guys they got to count on. I mean, with this rotation and the injuries and the underperformance, I mean, Cade Povich is almost a standout. I hate to say it, but, you know, really, he had one blow up, and it was a bad one. I think he needed to give up 7 runs against somebody in there, and it was just awful. But most of the rest of them have been pretty good, and, you know, obviously a strong finish. I just really like his upside, as they say. I think he's got some improving to do. You know, he didn't throw hard either, but he's got pitchability. And, you know, right now, Bob, it's 4 straight series against losing record teams, 12 games, Twins, Angels, Twins, Nationals. They got to roll through this, man, and get 7 or 8 wins out of it. We can't count on that because the Orioles are a losing team, too. Their record isn't better than the teams they're playing. But they have to show that over the long haul, they are better than these teams they're about to play.
How optimistic are you, Steve, that the offense is starting to get some semblance? I don't want to say consistency. They were still 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position on Sunday, but the power bats are there. Holiday's raking. Gunner's starting to get it together. I mean, are you seeing signs of life from an offense that a year ago at this time was putting up numbers that would place them among the best in baseball, certainly in the first half?
I am. It's coming in dribs and drabs. I mean, Gunner got a 9-game hitting streak, sitting nearly 400. Holiday's starting to swing it. Cedric's been swinging it all year. O'Hearn's been swinging it most of the year. you know, Bob, there's just two standouts on the stat sheet, and all Oriole fans could quote them to you. Runners in scoring position, they're last in baseball in OPS, last, 30th. And left-handed hitting against left-handed pitching, they're last. So, I mean, when you're 30th and last in two major categories, it's hard to be good on offense, and they're not. They're 20th in the league in runs scored. And, Bob, a year or two ago, they were fourth. So, I mean, this team has had a big fall in runs per game. I say it's going to get better because the underlying stats are there. They're hitting the ball hard. And people tell me, well, Steve, that doesn't mean anything if you don't score runs. Well, look, Gunnar was hitting the ball hard, and now they're falling. So I think if you do consistently hit the ball hard, you're eventually going to find grass or hit it over the wall. And the fact that their exit velocity is good, that for me is a good long-term sign. But I know fans are screaming at the radio, yeah, start scoring some runs.
Right. Steve Molesky talking to Orioles with Hit Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Heston Kerstadt, we're 5 years since he was the number two pick in the draft almost, and he's getting plenty of opportunities to play because of injuries to others, Colton Cowser in particular, and Tyler O'Neill. That's another story altogether. I mean, when's this going to become second pick in the draft level production for Heston Kerstadt? I know everybody's pining for Kyle Stowers all of a sudden, Steve, but what about Kerstadt? And you know how patient and rational I am, Steve. I'm starting to think, I don't know about this cat right now.
Well, if you look at the young guys as a group, the earlier group came up and led the Orioles to the playoffs. Adley, Gunner, Westberg, Grayson, that group. The current group is kind of struggling to find its way. Holiday, Kerstadt, Mayo, Povich. They're not as touted a group as the other guys, and they're not performing as those other guys did as quickly. So that doesn't mean they won't. I'm still a big believer in Kerstadt, Bob, and I think the team is too. And to me, a telltale sign was the last 2 years when they had to set the playoff roster, he was on it twice. So that's telling me when it came to the biggest games, they counted on this kid. And I think they believe in him too. But he's got to get it going, right? I mean, the dribs and drabs, the injuries, the setbacks. It just seems like it's one thing after another. He finally gets going. He gets beaned. There's always something setting him back, and he's got to fight through that and get it going. And Mayo, too. I mean, I don't know if he'll get consistent ABs here that he's up, but, you know, it's time for those guys to start showing some more.
The thing, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, like with Gunner and stuff, that it, hitting the ball hard, exit velo. You know, you can't say that for Mayo. You know, I mean, that's the only concern. And then, Steve, what position do you see Mayo playing?
Well, right now, they're down two third basemen. So even though he hasn't been great there, we know that might be where they got to plug him in the short term here. And so long term, they've been reluctant to send him in the outfield to see how that looks. And so first base, they're kind of crowded over there. So right now they got two first basemen healthy on the roster, but they're down two third basemen. So it's pretty clear where they need them, you know, this week. But I think the jury's out on long-term where that's going to be for him.
Steve Molesky talking to Orioles. Real quick, Steve, we know the Basayos and all the other Mayo and the other prospects that we've discussed, Honeycutt, Bradfield, et cetera. Through the first month plus of the minor league schedule, give us a name of a prospect that we haven't talked about or even heard of that's starting to really get the attention of the organization and maybe now the fan base here.
Well, Bob, I wrote about him recently on my Substack, Braxton Bragg. He started this year with 3 starts for Aberdeen, has been moved to Bowie, pitched well in 2 starts there. So, I mean, he's really pitching great to start the season. And he's been what the Jordy Henry, the Bowie pitching coach, the Chesapeake pitching coach, told me is a dream. You know, he's like the role model for pitching prospect. On the Orioles watch, 8th-round pick out of Dallas Baptist in 2023. He's gotten bigger. He's throwing harder. His pitch shapes are better. He's trending almost a straight line up, which is unusual for a prospect. Usually there's ups and downs. But this guy's just soaring to, you know, right now. And he's not in a lot of top 30s, almost in none of them. I think he might have made Fangraphs. But so he will be, though, because he throws 94-95. He's got some quality secondaries, commands it well. He's put on weight. And so he's just been trending up straight line almost since the draft. And not bad for round eight.
Steve Mileski, you are our colleague of here, of course, on 105.7 The Fan. But you mentioned Substack. Tell our audience about it for those I can't believe would know but haven't heard about it yet.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I'm on Substack for my writing this year, and I've got videos we do there. I've got a podcast, Bob, that I do there as well. The latest one was with the great Peter Schmuck. We had a great conversation last week when that dropped. So steveonbaseball.substack.com. That's where they find me, my little corner of the world. And Oriole fans have been great to find me there and support my work. And so I'm cranking it out there, man. And I've been to minor league parks about five or six times already and been to Camden Yards many times and do the game blog each night there. So pretty active.
Steve Mileski, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week sometime.
Thanks, Steve.
See you guys.
There's Steve Mileski. We'll come back here from Mike Elias, was on the Big Bad Morning Show. A couple of cuts from him. NFL lunch coming up, top of the hour. Back to the Justin Tucker talk. No longer part of the Ravens present, certainly not part of the future. Tyler Loop, front and center. You still have a problem with that. Some say, hey, it's an appropriate time to do it. American League East report what happened in the division last night. Only one game. Busy schedule tonight, however. And then Howard Balzer. He's one of these NFL writers. I mean, Hall of Fame, I should say. NFL writers. Justin Tucker. Chances, you know, kickers usually aren't top of the priority anyway. Mm-hmm. Is he doomed now?
He's got good stuff this year. He's just not getting anybody out. And it's been a huge problem. We can't keep doing the same thing. So we've moved him to the bullpen. And, you know, right now he's one of our options in the organization for that role. But, you know, we're going to keep working with him. And I think his stuff and track record suggest that he's better than this. But it's certainly been one of the big factors for us getting off to this really disappointing start.
Yeah, he's pitched in a lot of losses. That's Mike Elias, Orioles GM, Big Bad Morning Show, talking about Charlie Morton, who has been a colossal disaster for the Orioles here in 2025. And we talk about how lame, terrible the rotation has been. He is culprit number one. He's been a failure. Now he's moved to the bullpen, and he hasn't been all that great in that capacity either. $15 million contract he signed for, a one-year deal. And yes, track record of success is documented. Great playoff pitcher for many years for multiple teams. But he struggled in the second half of last year with the Braves, especially in September. Wasn't even on the playoff roster. And was brought in this year because Grayson Rodriguez couldn't get out of Florida unscathed. Question is, and Elias said it, basically, he sucks, and this has been a major problem for us this year. How much longer can you keep giving him a baseball and asking him to get people out? We hear about how great his stuff is, right, but he's not getting anybody out. It's, hey, quarterback, cannon arm, throws the ball 90 yards on a fly. Just don't throw it to the receivers. You know what I mean? But right now, Charlie Morton is a liability in any aspect. And if this is going on 2 weeks from now, a month from now, I don't see how you justify keeping him around. Because it's going to have to be, at some point, going, oh, my God, you're out there with a glove going, oh, my God, this guy's coming in. We're screwed.
Yeah, and you know what, Bob? Being a general manager, it's a tough deal because you went and signed him. You know, and do you want to show right away that you made a mistake? But a lot of times the best thing to do is when you know you've effed up, go ahead and get rid of it. You know, get rid of the issue instead of trying, you know, we're going to, because Hyder didn't look like he wanted to keep work with, you know, we're going to keep working with, you know. And, you know, so, I mean, that's the difficulty. It's when does Elias say, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it looks like Hyder to me, he's done.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to make that call. Nolan, your competence level, I mean, it can't get any worse, air quotes, with Charlie Morton. And then he goes out and pitches and does exactly that. I have zero confidence he's going to turn it around
to the point where he'll be an asset to this team.
Right. I don't get the sense that Hyde's fed up with him at all. I mean, he was kissing his butt for a week straight after he gave him two innings in that game. They were getting decimated. Gibson started against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, oh, well, Charlie Morton really saved the bullpen there, gave us two big innings. I mean, would not stop talking about it. Kept on talking about it for days.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. And because of what we know about this organization, the leadership that is, how they handled Craig Kimbrell last year, to me, that says that Charlie Morton's not going anywhere. Whether it's the sunk cost part of it, whether it's the fact that they legitimately believe he can turn it around, whatever it is, I haven't seen anything from previous experiences with players really not living up to their expectations that says that they're just going to flat out cut him. And I think the worst possible thing that could happen is he gets some more relief innings here and starts to string together like two, maybe three decent outings in a row, and all of a sudden they're convinced that he's the guy again.
Ah.
Just if it was up to me, I'm with you. Cut him right now. Don't save yourself the trouble. But unfortunately, I think he's going to be here a while because Kimbrell lasted till September.
Last year, Kimbrell lost the closer's role in late April into May. They moved him to low leverage situations, got it together a little bit, and then pitched well for the better part of a month and a half to the point where I thought he should have been on the All-Star team instead of Clay Holmes. And by the way, they both flamed out in the second half. Then he was off the team. I just don't see it with Morton. And watching the game on Sunday, when he came in and was adding fuel to the already inferno Kansas City bats, Brandon, I didn't look like a guy that was ready to kiss any ass.
No.
Who decided to put him in a two-run ball game in the eighth on a day where the ball was flying out of the yard left and right?
Well, that would be the Hyder.
Both teams. Oh, the man. Oh. No, but it's not his call, right? That's Elias's call. Hyde doesn't do anything. He's just an innocent soul. Hey, he's just a bystander.
Oh, yell at me. I'm not the general manager, man. But anyway, here's Mike Elias with his frustration level so far for his team that in last place right now.
In a rough stretch. I mean, we're not able to hide from that, and it's been a really tough way to start the year. We've certainly dug a hole. As you mentioned, we've had a lot of injuries. I just think that's part of it, though. We've got guys that aren't performing well. We've got moves that I made that aren't bearing fruit. We just have a lot of things that haven't broken our way, and this is coming off of the heels of our playoff disappointment last year. So it's been a rough stretch, and people are frustrated, and I can understand it. And we're working right now. We've got a big road trip coming up that I hope we can start to turn things around.
Sounds like a guy that's owning it, though. Moves aren't panning out.
Yeah, no doubt.
Charlie Morton, among all. Hey, Tyler O'Neill's not exactly Frank Robinson here in his first year in Baltimore, so it's not like he's trying to blow smoke up anyone's rear ends and even downplay the injury aspect of it. Yeah, we got a lot of guys hurt, but that's not, you know, we got guys who aren't playing well.
And the other thing, Bob, is, he just did media last Friday, and then he went on the show, basically. So I give him credit for coming out and acknowledging the issues.
Yeah, he understands the fans are frustrated. I'm assuming he's getting some emails from people saying, hey, you suck. You should be fired. You're the worst. The owner stinks. I mean, leave Rubenstein alone. Let's give him a couple years. Then we'll decide whether or not he's good or bad at it. But do we at least commend Elias for, you know, manning up here and going, hey, we're in last place. This isn't where we wanted to be. And I've got a lot to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, and the one where he was talking on Friday, I thought was a little more interesting, where he was very candid and said, you know, as a GM, you're constantly second-guessing every move you make. You know, even if something looks good in the short term, you know, you might think, oh, is this really going to hold up? So I think he's been pretty honest for the most part, but that honesty doesn't have to be appreciated. I mean, yeah. Well, because it's a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, sure.
Well, and as far as fixing things, what can he do in the short term other than signing, you know, more guys like Kyle Gibson who are available for a reason?
And it's not like the trade deadline is
exactly
looming here and teams are ready to sacrifice players. He's going to have to, you know, ride it out like everyone else. Hyder's the one that's got to talk to the media after every game, before and after. But some players need to get it together here. Let's be honest.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And why is Jorge Mateo still have a place on this team? There's another question that, you know, I'd have been like, hey, what exactly is his role again? I don't know.
You know what a good one, too, Nolan is the one where he talks about, you know, contract situation, spending money, and doing all those things. That was an interesting
more one. Of the same, but where we have permission to spend.
It's
just not happening.
Well, you know who could use a contract right now? How about Bob Haney? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL Lunch, get back to Justin Tucker. If you want to share your thoughts on the Ravens' decision, kind of came out of nowhere. We knew it was happening eventually, but it came out of nowhere late on a Monday afternoon. Feel free to get in at 410-583-1057. American League East Report, only one game last night, but a pretty good one in the rain up in the Bronx. Full schedule today. And Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer. He is a Hall of Fame voter. Justin Tucker fits in where, depending on things, I guess.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.